Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome in to another edition of the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, episode 57. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, my friend, my podcast co-host, Andrew. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing pretty great, Kevin. You know, taking a little time off this summer. But how's your summer going?
No, it's going okay. You know, no complaints. A lot of work. Sorry we are just now getting to the podcast. Been a little while. I've been out of town. You've been out of town. We've been not doing podcasting, which is our bad. Actually, probably more my bad than your bad.
I think. Yeah, more like you're terrible.
Yeah.
That's my terrible. That's all right. But we've got a lot to cover today. And we'll have these regularly now because we've got football season coming up. And, you know, basketball just around the corner. So while it hasn't been too hot this summer, it's been hot KU sports-wise.
Mm.
You like that? You like the little transition?
Mm-hmm.
Like that? Well, so they got a lot to talk about. So we're going to do some quick hitter news stories.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about some NBA today. Obviously, a lot going on with Mr. Wiggins and Mr. Embiid in the Professional Basketball League. It's obviously some KU basketball recruiting. And then we've done this for the past couple of years. This will be our KU football preview. This is a preview to the preview show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to like go full bore into, you know, previewing the football season, but we're going to preview that episode because really we're not ready for it. So we're just going to, you know, highlight some big things.
Yeah. High level stuff.
Yeah. High level stuff. Kevin, we've got a big surprise or a big special event coming up. We've done this for the past couple of years, but tell the folks about our little fantasy football thing.
Yes. So Andrew and I, on top of loving KU sports, also love fantasy football. And we thought, hey, why don't we have a Jayhawk Talk Fantasy Football League? Last year, we had the first annual Jayhawk Talk Fantasy Football League. Our friend Joe, who was a listener, ended up winning that league, beat us. My team was terrible. But this year, we're doing it again. And we want you guys, our listeners, to be part of our league. So here's what we're going to do. We've got a draft party scheduled by our friends at Johnny's Taverns are going to sponsor us this year. We're going to have pizza. We're going to have appetizers, all free. We have drink specials, and the draft itself is on Wednesday, August 27th at 7 p.m. at the P&L Johnny's. That's Wednesday the 27th, 7 p.m. So we've got several draft spots to fill. We're going to have Andrew and I in the league and a couple contributors to the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Parker, who you can find at @pay_heed on Twitter. And, of course, our good friend Ty Gardner, formerly of fake Jeff Withey fame, at Ty Gardner, is going to be in the league as well. And then Joe, who won the league last year. We're going to let the winner always stay in. So Joe won the league. He's going to be in there as well. So we have a bunch of spots to fill. It might be a 12-person league. It might be 14. It really just depends how many people we get interested. And then we're going to do something to choose those people, like a drawing. I don't know. What do you think? So how should we choose who goes into the league, Andrew?
Well, we have this Facebook page that we sort of use that we don't use. So you need to go on to the Facebook page, which is, I believe, just called Jayhawk Talk. Facebook, right? And so post something on the wall. Just anything. Well, first of all, friend it or follow it.
Like whatever they call it.
Like it.
Like.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Like it on Facebook if you haven't already. And then post something on the wall, something funny, something just general about, hey, this podcast is amazing. Or, you know, if you do something funny, you're probably likely to get in. But just post something on the wall, maybe your favorite KU moment, what you like about the sports teams there. So whatever you want to do, yeah.
If
you like sprots, you like some sprots, just let us know.
We're keeping it pretty open here.
Just go onto the Facebook wall and post something, and then we'll see how we do it from there. But this is brought to you by Johnny's, right?
Yes.
So they wanted us to let everybody know they're having some fantasy football specials.
And this is at the P&L Johnny's location only, these specials.
So tell us what those are.
Yes, sir. We got $12 single topping pizzas, $5 big domestics, $4 absolute cocktails. And then here's the kicker. For the winner of your league, you get a $50 free gift card to Johnny's Tavern. So if you just do your draft at the Johnny's P&L, you get all those specials plus a $50 gift card to the winner. Pretty good deal. I should also pass along that they have a giant draft board available to you that you can use during your draft. And for an optional fee, Johnny's will provide you a personal server and a sticker person to put the stickers on the board for you. The manager, Nick there, assured me that he would choose someone who's very exciting and fun and energetic and will certainly make fun of your picks as you put them up. Sounds like a lot of fun to host your fantasy football draft there at Johnny's P&L. That's where we will be on Wednesday, August 27th, 7 p.m. If you are interested in being in the league, as Andrew said, you got to post on the Facebook page, like it, but you also have to be able to be at the draft. As I know that's a kicker for some people. Last year we had some folks that were in other states and wouldn't be able to make it. I'm sorry. But this year we're going to have a party and we might even be doing a live draft. So you can't do it on the old internets there. We want you to be at the Johnny's P&L. So if you can make the draft and you're interested, come on out. And even if you don't get chosen, come on out. We're going to have a little party there. It's going to be fun. We'll have food, drink specials, as we mentioned, and hopefully a nice little party there. So, Andrew, what do you say we move on?
Let's give him a reminder of the date.
Oh, yes.
Wednesday, August 27th, 7 o'clock in the evening at the Power and Light Johnny's.
You got it.
Got to be there. It'll be a good time.
It'll be fun. We're going to have a good time. Okay, so let's talk some quick hitter news items here, Andrew. This is stuff that has happened in the past few weeks. Maybe it's kind of the dog days of summer. What, you know, as far as KU stuff going on, you're watching a little, you know, football practice updates. You might be watching some, some July recruiting period that just ended. So here we're going to give you just a few updates, some little things that are going on with KU that you might have missed or that you, might have forgot about. We're going to go through these real quick, and let's get started. Let's put some music on here. Let's get some music going. All right, Andrew, I'll start it off. Here we go. Ray Kasongo, 6'9", power forward, is visiting KU this weekend. You might not know this guy. He's a class of 13 signee for Oregon, who was apparently denied admission. He's played academy ball this last year in Phoenix and now is looking at KU, Memphis, and Cal. He would be the final scholarship of the 2014 class. What do you think of this?
I'm not quite sure that this is going to actually happen. He's got a couple other people on his list, and it kind of doesn't free anything up for recruiting next year. Not sure if it's actually going to happen or if it's just Bill Self playing his cards differently, but, you know, we'll see. Next thing, Andrew White visited Maryland this weekend. He visited Nebraska, Notre Dame. He tells Inside Maryland Sports that a decision is coming real soon, Kevin.
Interesting. Yeah, this has dragged out a little bit to me. It seems like you want to have a choice here coming up. We're about to start school, man. He's got to decide pretty quick, but hopefully he ends up somewhere good. I would love to see him at Nebraska. I think that'd be a good fit for him. Here's one, Andrew. Drew Gooden is going to play in the FIBA World Cup, but not for the United States, for Finland. Apparently, his mom was born in Finland. Good to see Drew out there.
I love it when these things happen. I like to see KU players play in weird places, especially if we don't get to see them regularly. We get to see Drew Gooden quite a bit, but for example, today, Kevin Young played for the Puerto Rico B team against Kentucky in Kentucky's little foreign trip. So good to see him. Good to see Sasha Khan play in some of these things. And, you know, if we can just get some of these other guys, maybe if Tyshawn Taylor can somehow play for France or, yes, or something. Like, we need to just get these old guys who we want to see more, you know, somehow get in with these other schools.
Agreed.
Speaking of these foreign guys, Sviatoslav Kaliuk was selected as the under 18 MVP at the European Division B Championships last week. He averaged 16-5, which is, you know, pretty good stats wise, but he was only 26% from three. still got the MVP. His team finished second. I think that's good news that he played pretty well. Ukraine is now eligible for the Division A championship by making it to the final. Okay, I don't really understand. I don't understand the A versus B in that whole thing, but, you know, second place is pretty good.
Yeah, I don't either, but good for him. And, you know, I'm very interested to see what he's going to be at KU. I'm not sure he's going to be a guy this year that we're going to see a lot, but I kind of hope he is because that means he deserved it. Here's a good one. Switching to football, Andrew. Maryland wide receiver Nigel King graduated in 3 years and will be heading to and transferring to KU. He played. He was the third wide receiver there, played behind two really good wide receivers. He'll be listed as a junior and eligible to play right away for KU. So we get a, you know, one of those kind of senior transfers, but really it ends up being a junior transfer. Gets to play right away, 2 years, 6'3", 210 pounds, great size. Might be a guy who could contribute right away. What do you think of this?
You know, it looks like our wide receivers are all going to be transfer guys. Nick Harwell and Rodriguez Coleman was from, you know, Garden City Community College. Shout out to the Bronc Busters and Justin McKay. So if those are the top four wide receivers, they're all transfers and transferred in at some point. So maybe we're transfer you wide receiver-wise. We just need somebody to catch the ball. Moving on to a little bit of NBA. If you ordered an Andrew Wiggins Cleveland jersey, they are allowing you to return it for a free refund. We'll obviously get into more of this later, but I imagine that there may be a couple people out there who purchased those early without the news of LeBron. So that's good news that they'll allow you to return it.
Andrew, in 30 years, that Cleveland Andrew Wiggins jersey is going to be worth a gazillion dollars. Keep your jerseys. It's like a collector's item now. You will be the one fan, the one hoopster, the hipster turned hoopster who wears all like the Larry Johnson jerseys right now. If you were going to be that person in 2035, and you're going to be awesome.
By the way, best hoopster jersey. We should have a conversation about hoopster jerseys sometime. On the podcast, but best one, I would say Greg Ostertag early Jazz jersey. That'd be the best hoopster jersey.
That would be a good one. I like a Mark Randall Chicago Bulls jersey, if you could find that. If someone could find me one of those, I'll buy it from you. Okay, so here's another one. KC-based architecture firm HNTB has put together several design plans for Memorial Stadium and is presenting them this week to Shayan Zanger. According to the Star, Zang will use these plans to approach donors to begin a massive fundraising campaign, which, of course, has probably already been ongoing. What do you think of this, Andrew?
I'd like to see what it looks like. I mean, we've kind of got an old stadium, and we're really lagging behind the Big 12 schools in terms of what our stadiums look like. Baylor's got a new stadium that looks awesome.
Awesome.
So we've got to do something to catch up. So I'd like to see these. Hopefully they release them to the public. Let's keep on with football a little bit. Former KU running back Darian Miller, who had two stints at KU and left at the end of the season, will play for Northern Iowa. Mm-hmm. That's in the championship subdivision, so Division 1AA. Good to see you somewhere.
Yeah, good player, man. I just never quite put it together. He will be eligible to play right away for Northern Iowa, so hopefully he can shine a little bit. Another KU running back story turned bad. Trayvon Wrench, our four-star recruit this year, who is going to be in the class of 2014, will not attend KU. He, I believe, was an eligibility issue. He's going to opt for Butler County. Good news is KU does have quite a bit of running back depth with returning Taylor Cox, Brandon Bourbon, and a JUCO transfer in DeAndre Mann, who's supposedly putting up some interesting highlights in camp right now. So good to see there. Any thoughts on Trayvon?
Well, Trayvon still indicates that he wants to come to KU once he's done at Butler. And Butler's a great place for people to be. I mean, they win the JUCO title, you know, probably average once out of every two or three years. So good place for him to be. He'll be able to develop there. And hopefully in a year or two, he'll be back. Keeping on with transfers or guys not at KU anymore. Jake Heaps, our buddy, who we spoke both highly and lowly of on this podcast, has transferred to Miami, and we've talked about this, but may end up being their starting quarterback as a result of suspensions and injuries. He's taking the most first-team reps with the offense per the Miami Herald. Do you think he'll be successful there?
I do. I actually think that this is going to be one of those stories that's we're going to look back and be like, oh, man, there's Jake Heaps being a all-conference quarterback for some other team. But we'll see. I don't know. He's got a decent offensive line, decent wide receiver core there. Didn't have either of those with KU, so never know. We'll see. Here's one for you, Andrew, to wrap this up. Charlie Weiss has dropped 70 pounds in the offseason, according to a report with CJ Online, and plans to lose in the total 112. That's his goal. So good for Charlie.
It's a very specific number for him. He's just going to stop once he gets at 112. But, you know, that's great news for him. That's very admirable, and hopefully gets him, you know, enthused for the season, gets him healthy, gets him ready to go. So, you know, congrats to him on that.
Absolutely. All right, let's wrap up this this music here. This is kind of all right. No more music.
So I didn't get to hear the music. What did we play? What did the folks just get to hear while we rambled on?
So here's a peek behind the glass, Andrew. I actually didn't have any music playing.
Oh, I'm gonna put it in later.
Put it in post.
See, I don't even get to
hear post production. So, wait, what would you like to hear?
I don't know. We could pick anything now.
Yeah, anything you want. Maybe like some Ocean's 12 music.
Or ooh,
Ocean's
13
music.
Like some. You know, in Ocean's 12, when he's dancing with the lasers, with the lasers.
That song, that'd be a great one. All right, well, we'll see. All right, let's talk about NBA.
Okay, so it's been a while since we've talked to you folks at home. The last time we talked to you was right before the NBA draft. Is that right, Kevin?
That sounds
right. So right before the NBA draft. So we had made some predictions about where people were going to go, what we wanted to see. So we all thought Wiggins would go one. I think that's how we had it. And he did go one, which is very exciting. Went one to the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's where I wanted him to go. Is that where you wanted him to go, Kevin?
Of course.
And Embiid did not go two. He went three. You know, he could have dropped further down, but ended up going to the 76ers. And I think that's a great spot for him, too. You know, they're rebuilding. He's not going to be able to play, you know, until the middle of the season. So it would be a good spot for him to develop and, you know, grow with that team that's rebuilding. So I'm happy that he went there. So Wiggins shows up at the draft with his broken iPhone case suit. Which was great, or the Three Amigos suit.
Oh, man.
However you want to call it. Get selected. And I think everything's fine after that. Everyone's happy. Mm-hmm. We're pretty excited about this Cavs team. You know, they're probably not amazing, but you can kind of see the lineup develop. And, you know, maybe that's a playoff team if they can kind of put things together. Then the bomb drops. Early to mid-July, I think it was July 9th or so, maybe it was 11th, whatever it was. The bomb drops, the biggest event to happen in the NBA, not actual sports or game-related, since 2004, you could argue, or since 2010, when it happened before, LeBron James decides to go back to Cleveland.
I'm coming home,
and then that throws a wrench into to our Wiggins plans. Mm-hmm. Initially, we're thinking, great. This is going to be a great team. Think about the, you know, our roster of Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Wiggins at the two, LeBron at the three, Tristan Thompson at the four. You got Deion Waiters off the bench, Anderson Varejao at the five. I mean, you're thinking of this team has a shot to be pretty special. Right, Kevin?
Yes, sir.
This would be a team where I could get back on board with LeBron. Not that I wasn't before, but this team would become...
It'd be fun.
Would be a great team. Wiggins is on it. LeBron's on it. You get to watch them all the time. I mean, they'd be on TV every night.
Yeah.
National TV every night. It'd be fun to watch. And it'd be fun to watch Wiggins develop under LeBron.
But
the rumor starts to come out that Kevin Love would be interested in playing for that Cleveland team with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. But how do you get him there? Well, in order to get him there, you've got to give up something. So a couple telltale signs leading into this is that in LeBron's Sports Illustrated article, he said he's looking forward to playing with certain players. And one of those players, a player that's not mentioned, is Andrew Wiggins. So maybe this was, you know, talked about beforehand. And you had heard some rumbling. So Wiggins is not mentioned in there. And also in a recent interview, Andrew Wiggins said that he has not spoken with LeBron since he's made that decision, which is fine. Not a big deal. But LeBron has mentioned that he's spoken to other players and they've already made contact and already making plans. And
the day Andrew Wiggins came out, the day the story came out, I tweeted, Andrew Wiggins is not going to play with LeBron James.
Right.
And I got a bunch of backlash about it. Because
it just seemed so perfect.
Yeah.
People weren't ready to believe it. So news has come out recently that this deal is done, although it can't be officially done until Wiggins, the 30-day period after he signed his contract expires, which I think is August 23rd. And after that date, the trade will be finalized, and it will send Anthony Bennett and Wiggins away and a first-round pick for Kevin Love. Then Kevin Love will re-sign a long-term deal with the Cavs. So what started off as a perfect scenario for Wiggins to develop under LeBron James, you know, to be a pretty good team and, you know, probably win several championships, has turned into he's getting sent to the Timberwolves. So what do you think is a better situation for him, Kevin? Are you happy the way this worked out? One in terms of as a fan, and two in terms of what Wiggins is going into.
As a fan, of course not. I don't think anyone can be like really excited that Andrew Wiggins is going to play for the Timberwolves instead of with LeBron. Like, as a fan, it'd be so much fun. You get to see him every night. You get to see him throwing alley-oops to LeBron, LeBron throwing alley-oops to him. I mean, think how much fun that would be. But, so as a fan, yes, as a fan, disappointed. Would have been cool. But as an Andrew Wiggins, you know, if I was maybe, you know, in his camp, maybe not a bad thing to go to the Timberwolves. Maybe the expectations are different, certainly, because, you know, maybe they're not a championship team. So there's team expectations that are different. But there's also, you know, personal expectations. Now they're expecting him to come in and, along with Bennett, be number one draft picks and perform like it. And so that it gives him the opportunity to be the guy. It gives him an opportunity to come in and maybe even, you know, lead the team in scoring and be a guy who really has to, you know, get all the attention, which as a rookie, I mean, that's tough. It's a little different, but it's also Minnesota and not under the limelight that he would be in Cleveland with LeBron. What do you think?
You know, I agree. It's going to be tough for him to really thrive in terms of winning games in Minnesota these first couple of years. You know, he's got a lot to work on. His jump shot's not quite there, you know, at an elite level yet for him to be an elite player. His defense is going to be there. And so right. I think that's going to make that team better. And him playing with Ricky Rubio is going to open up some things for him. But if you think about it from a defensive standpoint, if LeBron was in Cleveland, or if Wiggins was in Cleveland with LeBron and playing defense, I don't think anyone would be able to score on that team.
Yeah.
Like, from a perimeter standpoint, no one would be able to. And that changes everything in Minnesota. So it's going to be a little bit slower in terms of him becoming, you know, successful win-wise in Minnesota. But he's going to have more opportunities to score. But he's got to, you know, step up those things that could have come along slower in Cleveland, like his jump shot, like a few other, you know, his dribbling, his handles. They could have come along slower, but he's going to kind of need to step up that earlier in Minnesota for him to be successful at a more early level.
Agreed. Well, let's talk about Embiid.
Embiid doing well. he's really hit the media circuit pretty hard because everyone's kind of taking a liking to his Twitter account. He's, you know, this, okay, so for those of you, I'm sure all of you have heard this, but he initially tweeted out some things about Kim Kardashian, like wanting to, I believe, what did he say, slide into her DMs?
Yeah, something like that.
Direct messages. I think that just, maybe I'm not up with the lingo. I think that just means he wanted to talk to her through Twitter.
It sounded much more like there's some innuendo there, But maybe. I don't know what the innuendo is either, so maybe.
Yeah, so but anyway, he then realized, and probably honestly, that she was married. He probably just didn't get it. He didn't know. So he apologized and then moved on to Rihanna. And has created this phenomenon of people photoshopping pictures of them out on dates, which has just become hilarious. What's going to happen, Kevin, is that he's going to keep doing this, and he's going to tweet something out to some celebrity lady about how, you know, oh, now I'm obsessed with this person.
Mm-hmm.
But their people are going to see it and be like, okay, this guy is, you know, a professional basketball player, kind of becoming famous. Like, it's going to happen. Like, they it may work out. And when that happens, I don't think he's going to know what to do. It's kind of like, it's like a dog chasing a car. Like, if the dog ever caught the car, right, like, what would the dog do? So he's going to, something's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to work out for him. And he is going to be surprised that it actually did.
Yeah. I think you're right. You're right. I mean, if he keeps trying, you know, I think if he tries enough, somebody's going to say, all right, let's go out. And then there's going to be a publicity thing about it. It's going to be great. Yeah. You know, I love Joel Embiid. I love the fact that he's doing all this stuff on Twitter because he doesn't have anything else better to do except for, you know, do his rehab and get back into the game. The funny thing is, you know, we saw a little bit of this at KU. It makes you wonder if he once he got out, he kind of went full bore on it. And I don't know if Self ever, you know, said, hey, you guys can't, you know, don't be stupid on Twitter. I'm sure he does, but not that it does anything. But he didn't really do a lot of this stuff on Twitter at KU. He talked about the Lions and, you know, all that nonsense. But it's kind of funny to see him, you know, once he's spreading his wings outside of KU, he's, you know, the guy, he's still a kid, though. He's a kid. He's having a time of his life. Good for him. I just hope he reaches his potential because, man, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And he's in Philadelphia. I don't know if we ever actually said, like, the basketball part of it. He's in Philadelphia. He'll be out probably until, you know, early next year.
Yeah.
January, February is what it seems like. Anyway, I hope he gets to play a little bit, and I hope in his romantic life something, you know, sparks for him.
Because
that would be great. That would be great to just watch on Twitter. That should be great.
Couldn't agree more. All right, let's talk a little basketball recruiting.
Okay, I know nothing about this. This is enough or as much information for me as well. So tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Catch me up on this.
Yeah, so it's been kind of an interesting year because we got 2015, which is a lot different class. I think a lot of people think than 14, but there's still a ton of really good guys out there, and it will be a little interesting to see how many scholarships KU has available to even offer. But we do have several visits lined up, so we just wanted to start with that, and certainly we'll talk about this more as the season goes on and these visits take place. But I wanted to get a few names out there so you guys can start looking these guys up and seeing some of their video and seeing maybe who you'd like to come visit KU and be on KU, because it's kind of fun this time of year and not much is going on to check these guys' mixtapes and, you know, stuff like that. So first off, we got Malik Newman, who is the number two guy in Rivals. He's from Jackson, Mississippi. He's a shooting guard. He has said that he's going to visit KU, but there's no scheduled date yet. Another guy, power forward Chake Diallo, he's also number five in Rivals. He's from New York, and he is set to visit here coming up September 19th. So check out his stuff online. Really interesting player. A guy who I've been following for a long time and would really like to see at KU is a center by the name of Steven Zimmerman. He's a number seven guy in Rivals. He's out there in Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas. He is visiting October 14th, so going to be an interesting guy. I don't know if that's right around late night. I think late night's like the 10th, so he might be missing late night, but going to be an interesting guy. There's a lot of high-profile coaches and schools on his list. We'd love to see him at KU. And then another big guy, not a center, but a pretty big power forward, Carlton Bragg, also a top 10, number 9 in Rivals from Cleveland. He'll be here at late night, along with small forward Brandon Ingram, top 25 in Rivals. He'll be here for late night as well. So some guys to keep in mind as you're, you know, kind of missing some KU stuff. Maybe want to look into seeing what these guys can do online. There's a lot of great reports out there on ESPN, Rivals, and 24/7 talking about how these guys could be impact players on the college level. Take a look at them. Couple other names to keep in mind. Small forward Derek Jones. He's top 33 in Rivals. He said that he is going to also visit, along with center Tyler Davis, number 35, Rivals. So a couple other guys out there. It will be interesting to see with, you know, we got Oubre, we got Cliff Alexander, Wayne Selden, some of these guys that may be leaving early. So Self surely out there kind of covering his butt, making sure that we got a nice group of people interested in KU just in case. We're going to have a lot of scholarships to fill next year. Anyway, that's all I got on recruiting. I didn't want to go too deep, but any thoughts on any of those guys' names, you know, anything jumping out?
Once late night starts to come around, that's when, you know, the real people start making commitments. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just it's good to keep those guys in mind as we go forward, but it's probably too early to tell on, you know, especially from us, we don't know who's going to leave. You know, probably you pencil in Alexander maybe leaving and maybe Selden or Oubre, but and then with one open scholarship. So we don't even know how it's going to work, but definitely guys to keep an eye out for as we, you know, go through the next couple months. Kevin, let's talk about football.
Football.
It's you know, it's been kind of cold this summer, mm-hmm. and there have been times where I've walked out to my car, and I've felt that little brisk, that briskness, and that briskness I immediately associate with going to football games, going to tailgate. Fall, it's felt like fall, and so I've been walking to my car. I'm like, I kind of wish I was driving the Lawrence. With a cooler full of beer and a lawn chair, just ready to go. That's what I wanted to do when I felt that feeling. So, you know, it's coming up.
Yes.
Less than a month away.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is coming up fast. I think you're right. It's like supposed to be 150 degrees out right now, and it's like 76 with like a little cloudy, and you're like, man, it kind of feels like football. So here, let's talk a little football. This, of course, is the football preview. So we're going to keep things high level, but I did want to drop a few stats here. And Andrew, maybe I'll do a couple and you do a couple until we get to some positive ones. Let's get these out of the way because I don't know if you guys know this, the folks at home. The state of KU football has been pretty freaking terrible for a long time. I don't know if, you know, maybe you've not been paying attention. But that's good because it's been really bad. If you've been going to games, I'm sorry. You deserve such a better team than you've been watching. Andrew and I have been season ticket holders for several years now. We're ready to see some wins. And it's gotten to a point where I don't want to get on this podcast and rant every week anymore. I want to see something good. So anyway, here's a little state of KU football. Charlie Weiss, now and will be in his third year. He is 4-20 at KU, including 1-17 in Big 12 play. Over the past 5 years, KU football is 3-40 in Big 12 play. In the history of the Big 12, Andrew, KU has one above 500 record in Big 12 play. That was in 2007. Since QB Jesus Todd Reesing was here, KU QBs have combined to throw 32 touchdowns and 39 interceptions.
Which I think Reesing threw more touchdowns than that in 1 year.
Yeah, correct.
So this has been 5 years.
Four years. Correct. I'm sorry, 4 years, yes, since his departure. KU has averaged 2.3 touchdowns per game over the last 4 years. Think about that. 2.3 touchdowns per game KU has mustered on offense. Like, in college football, you got to score points, man. This isn't the NFL. 2.3 touchdowns in the NFL would be bad. Like, this is the Big 12, man. No wonder. And then Turner Gill's teams, this is kind of interesting, actually averaged almost four more points than Charlie Weiss's teams have so far. So that's kind of scary as well. So I think this year, Andrew, and I've been saying this for a while, I think this year is going to be different.
Really?
I think it's going to be a little different.
Okay, so
I've got a few reasons to be optimistic.
Okay, but let me before you do that, before you even get into that, I'm going to give you on a scale of 1 to 10, like, what's your excitement level for this season?
You know, 10?
Well, hold on, let me just give you the scale here.
Okay, yeah.
Zero meaning whatever you want zero to mean. 10 being the year after the Orange Bowl when Reesing's coming back. So 2009, going into 2008 season.
like as a huge fan of the game of football, I'm like an 8 just because I love football. But as like being excited about KU, you know, like a 5.5.
Because,
but it's kind of like a Royals fan. You've been beaten down so much recently and over the really the course of the of history being a KU football fan that you can't, if you have like high expectations, you're gonna, you know, you've kind of guarded yourself. You're getting a little defensive.
Are you more optimistic than you were last season?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay, so give us some of these reasons. Give us some of these reasons about why you're optimistic.
I think the absolute number one reason is that Charlie Weiss brought on John Reagan, who's going to serve as the offensive coordinator. And nothing against Charlie Weiss, but obviously in his first 2 years, as the numbers have shown, his offense has been freaking awful. Part of that has been that we're trying to run an offense that can't be run at KU. We don't have the horses for it. We don't have the offensive line. We don't have the wide receivers. Playing the pro style with the drop, 5 and 7 step drops with a bad offensive line just does not work. And I think it's pretty obvious. I'm glad to see that Charlie also realized it doesn't work. And it's unfortunate it took 2 seasons to get there. We brought in John Reagan. He was, of course, at Rice doing his thing as offensive coordinator down there. Former KU guy. He was on the Mangino staff, so he knows what it takes to win here. And I think that I think he's going to bring a good offense. And the another reason is that we named a dual threat quarterback as starter. And this isn't a wildcat quarterback. This isn't what we've been trotting out there in those stupid packages over the last couple of years, where, you know, Charlie is going to try to scheme a little drive with some, you know, running quarterback. This is a guy who can throw the ball. Now, he wasn't great last year throwing the ball, but of course, he's kind of thrust in there in the middle of the season with bad, you know, wide receivers and bad offensive line. But anyway, I think that Cozart's going to be a true dual threat. I don't think they're going to ask him to do too much. I think they're going to keep things quick hitting. I think they're going to utilize the run game. And more importantly, I think they're going to spread the field out, allowing there to be a little space to operate. Last year, of course, you'll remember, we were pretty good at running the ball, but we couldn't throw the ball for shit. So as a defensive coordinator, what are you going to do? You're going to stack the box, and you're going to make that run very difficult, and you're going to say, try to beat us over the top. And as we saw, that very rarely happened. But if you can spread it out, you can use the quarterback as a dual threat guy who they now have to account 11-on-11. They have to account for that quarterback being able to run. It becomes a little bit of an interesting, much different game than what we've seen over the past couple of years. Those are two of my reasons.
Okay, I like that. So let's talk a little bit more about Cozart. You know, he played quite a bit last year, you know, took over four heaps. Of course, you know, from Miege, first team all-state quarterback, led Miege to the 5A state championship. Didn't have a great accuracy rating. You know, nope. he was slightly better than Heaps, not much, but obviously there's room for improvement there. So if he can start to develop that, you know, that arm, it's going to be, you know, we're going to be much better off. And especially with those receivers who seem like legitimate threats this year, it seems like we can't blame the receivers for not being able to catch this season. Agreed. Like they're going to be there. They're going to be weapons. He's going to have that opportunity to succeed through the air.
Agreed. And that's the thing. If you have a little bit of, I guess, just creativity on the offensive side, and not creativity like doing stupid, you know, like flea flickers and crap like that, although we love trick plays. I'm talking about just being able to spread out, maybe doing some bunch formation, seeing like the old diamond package. You got 4 on one side, and you can utilize guys like Tony Pearson in the slot. You can utilize some of these guys with some size. You got, you know, King coming in being a 6'3 guy. And then obviously Harwell, a guy who's very proven as a guy who can catch a lot of balls in kind of a possession receiver role. That's what we need, man. We got to just continue to hold the ball, keep the possession, run, mix it up, some quick hitters, and get creative. That's how KU is going to be, you know, effective on offense, not going, you know, X, Y with your Z and, you know, the 1-2, you got one running back and 2 tight ends. You know, we got to get creative. And that's the way that we're going to win. And I'm really excited about Reagan. I honestly think that he will be the next football coach of the University of Kansas after Charlie Weiss. That's my prediction when he came in. I'm holding to it. I think he's going to come in and really bring a lot of energy and a lot of good ideas to the offense and hopefully carry over for a long time to come.
Okay, so post-Mangino, we've got several rosters to compare beginning of the season. From man number one to the last guy on the roster, how do you think this roster coming into the season compares with the rest of those teams post-Mangino?
Oh, by far the best, in my opinion. I mean, when Charlie came in, obviously he cleaned house, kicked a bunch of people off, brought in the dream team of JUCO transfers. A lot of those guys did not pan out, as we've seen, but a lot of them have, and roles that I think a lot of people kind of forget, but quite a few of those guys are still around. Our defense has taken huge steps forward and is honestly, I think, going to be a strength this year. Defensive line's a little sketchy, but our defensive backfield is going to be great. We got good linebackers. Heaney's a stud. And honestly, I think that, you know, especially on the defensive side, I think we're going to be just fine. And the offense, as long as that offensive line can just be average, or even, they don't even have to be average. They can be a little below average, but they just got to give enough time to get some of these quick hitters going and be effective. That's the biggest key for me on this season, is obviously quarterback play number one and then offensive line number two. The beef up front on both sides will be a question, but you know, from top to bottom, man, this team looks so much better than even the one coming in last year.
Okay. So, you know, it's Charlie's third year. Mm-hmm. I think you can give him a pass for two, like barely, mm-hmm. but this is the third season. And so I think everything's on the line. His guys are there. There's no excuses. The old guys aren't there. You can't blame anything on previous regime. This is all your coaching and your recruiting success. And we're going to see if that can turn into wins. So let's get into that. What are your win-loss expectations this year?
It's hard to say. I mean, if you're going to put a number on it, I'd like to see 5 or 6 wins. I mean, if they win 5 or 6 games, I think you can sort of step back and be like, that was probably a success. Pretty tough schedule. And I think most KU fans would at least be able to approach a 5 or 6 win season and feel pretty good, especially 6. I mean, if they could somehow do that. If it's less than 3 or 3 or less, I think it was a disaster. I really do. I mean, I think that this would be a somewhat of an indictment on Charlie Weiss if they can't win at least 3 games this year. What about you?
I think you're right. 3 games, I don't think he makes it to the next season. I think he's got to have more success than that. So from here, let's do one thing. You tell me what the perfect scenario is, like the ceiling of this team, and I'll see if I agree. And then I'll tell you what the floor is, like the absolute worst nightmare. And you'll see if you agree. And if there's anything in between we need to talk about. So what is the dream season for you, Kevin? Like, I mean, realistically, but the dream, everything goes perfectly. Where do we end up?
That means that you crush Southeast Missouri State at home on September 6th. You go to Duke, who obviously had a great season last year, but doesn't have as many returning pieces, and you win that game, which is, I think, will be winnable in some respects. And we might be a 10-point underdog or maybe even a little more, but I think that's somewhat winnable. And then you beat Central Michigan. You're looking at 3-0 in the non-con, and you got a couple games coming up that are actually sort of winnable. Texas at home will be a tough game, but a game that's, you know, not out of question to be a game that we could possibly win. And then at West Virginia is a game that I think we can win. So you can even look at 4-1 in the first 5 games, and then you hit a tough stretch. You're gonna lose at versus Oklahoma State, more than likely. You're gonna lose at Tech, and you'll probably lose at Baylor. But I mean, you got TCU and you got K-State, you got TCU and Iowa State coming up. That would be 6 wins if you could somehow get to there. I don't think you're going to win at Oklahoma, and I don't think you'll win at K-State, but there is a way. I mean, there's truly a path they could get to 6 wins. That's including Southeast Missouri State, Duke, Central Michigan, maybe Texas, and then at West Virginia, and then you got the Iowa State and TCU games. I think six wins is the dream season for me, which is a little sad. But if we got there, man, I think everybody would be pretty happy with it. What is your nightmare season, Andrew?
I think the nightmare is that we beat Southeast Missouri State on September, whatever it is, September 6th, first game of the season, and then we don't win another game. So yeah. we go to Duke. Duke's tough. Central Michigan at home. I think we'll be favored in that game, but I think it'll be incredibly close. And then it depends what happens with Duke. It depends. Well, that's true. But just like from taking it, looking at it right now,
yeah.
Not even considering that, like what the line would be, I think we may be favored, but it'd be incredibly close. So, I mean, that's not, you know, your typical non-conference against a Big 12 team versus a MAC team that you can just chalk up a win. Like Central Michigan's a pretty decent team.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? But you lose that game, which is possible. And then lose the rest of the Big 12 games, which is also possible because, you know, we've only won one Big 12 game in the past several years. So in the past 5 years. So, I mean, that's a 1-11 season is possible. And I think in that scenario, Charlie's gone before Thanksgiving and Reagan steps in as the interim. I mean, I think that's the nightmare.
The problem is you got to pay him. We're trying to build a stadium, and Charlie's been a pretty good recruiter. I think that he gets another year almost no matter what. But if they go 1-11, there will be some pitchforks. I mean, I'll be carrying one. That would be bad. Here's the question, though. What do you think is more likely to happen? 1-11 or 6-6? What do you think is the, like, you're setting the odds. Which one would you take if I put a gun to your head?
If I had to take it?
Yeah.
The 1-11.
I think I would too. That sucks, but six wins will be tough, man. It will be tough. But at the same time, I want to set an over under here with you. I don't know what Vegas has set it at, but if I were to set the over under at 4. It's between 3.5 and 4 for me.
Give me what it is. What's the line? What I have to choose. Give me the line.
4. See, I think that's the right number because 3.5, I think you're going to take the over. But at 4, taking the over is real hard.
Yeah, I think. I think that's a good number. I mean, I don't know if I'd go up or down. So there you go.
You got to give me one. Setting it at 4, over under.
Under,
I'll take the over.
Okay, but you know who knows? But just based on what we know now, and I had to pick one. I'd like to take the over, and I think I'd feel okay doing that. But, I am excited for the team, though. I'm excited to be back at Memorial Stadium. Excited to watch this team. Excited to tailgate. Excited to see the old folks. See everybody. So, I hope that my pick there doesn't diminish my excitement because I really am excited to see this team. And I don't know if there's a lot of us out there who are.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I don't know. All I got to do is win, man. If they just give people a reason to get excited, because it's pretty tough as a, you know, casual fan or even a, you know, diehard fan to really get super excited about KU football until you give them a reason. And 2 and 3 and 1 win seasons aren't going to do it. Give us some wins. Get a freaking stadium built, and hopefully we can, you know, start making progress toward the future. I think we're starting baby steps. Baby steps are there, but we certainly have a very long way to go. Andrew, I should say, you and I are looking for a new Jayhawk Talk tailgate. Our tailgate for the past 10 years is no longer available. We've rented out a yard. We've had this huge thing. We have every year. Unfortunately, that's not available. So we are on the search for a new spot for the Jayhawk Talk official tailgate. If you know anyone that has a house or a yard or anything that would be willing to buy out for the season, reach out to us on Twitter. I am at Jayhawk Talk. Andrew is at Sherlock Hoops. We're looking for a new home for our tailgate, and you know, we'll find something hopefully. But if you know of something, give us a shout. Andrew, anything else to add before we get out of here?
You know, school's about to start for a lot of folks. That means that sports are about to start. Sprots are about to start for some folks. So it's going to be a good season, I think. You know, you could consider this season 3 of the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Is that a good?
That's correct. Yeah, I think we're actually. Thing? Yeah, I mean, we're actually into season 3. I think we started a little earlier and we first got going. Now there's like 9 Jayhawk podcasts out there too.
Yeah, remember we used to say the only. Now there's a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good though. I think that's either they think we suck and they want to add some new ones, or they're like, man, we are missing a little market share here. Look at the Jayhawk Talk, slightly above average podcast out there.
Well, yeah, you know, this slightly above average podcast can be improved upon. That's right.
All right. So we want to see you out at Johnny's 8:27 Wednesday at 7 p.m. P&L. If you are interested in joining our fantasy football league, please like the Jayhawk Talk page on Facebook, post something to the wall, and we will reach out to you. If you have made the league, we'll do a drawing if we get enough people. If not, you know, you might just make it just by posting. It'll be a lot of fun. It's free, and it'll be a good opportunity to talk some KU football, a little NFL football with us from Jayhawk Talk and some other fans out there. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, Rock Chalk.
I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players and did the same for the
fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. 9 times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the booster showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggle change me as a man, but one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
This for my Jayhawk fans.